I was looking at some of the songs that we have in our book, and I know there's others. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith, we can see it afar. How beautiful heaven must be. There's a wonderful place called heaven. And there's a lot of other songs in there that talk about heaven and talk about a time of people getting together. I think if there's anything that the Bible lacks, now listen to what I'm saying, that anything that the Bible lacks, it is the idea of trying to explain heaven. It is something you cannot explain. It is such a wonderful place. It's such a great place. It's such a fabulous place. That there's no words that can really describe it. They try to put it in terms to help us to see it, talking about the jewels, talking about the gold, the gates of pearl, all those things. And none of that's going to be there, but it's trying to help people to understand what kind of place it's going to be. And there's just words, there's not enough words to be able to express how wonderful that's going to be. And we need to think about that. It is a time when we're going to gather together. We're going to be together with a lot of people. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to do. But we need that. But what I want us to do tonight, and the question I want us to look at, or what I want us to look at, is heaven will be worth it all. There is nothing that you could say, here's heaven, and you'd say, yes, but I want this over here. There's just nothing that you would want to trade for heaven. And people are doing that today because they're not living as they should live, and they're making a choice over this thing here rather than heaven. What we've got to do is to make the choice for heaven and for what heaven is. And I wish I could take it and just maybe do a something up here like this, and I could show you exactly what it looks like, and you could see that. It would change some people, but some people, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. They're going to do what they want to do. But heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a place where people need to be. Now, I want to mention to you just a few things of why we need to be in heaven and why heaven is so important. All right. Heaven is a wonderful place. First of all, we've got to recognize that heaven is wonderful because the Godhead's going to be there. Now, you could read all the book of Revelation and many other books, but I think the book of Revelation is one that has more about heaven in it as far as explaining what it looks like and some of the things that are going to be there, and that here's God sitting on His throne, and here's the Son that's there with Him, but also the Holy Spirit there. But here we've got God in heaven, a place where He's going to be. Remember when Moses said, God, I want to look at you. I want to see you. And he got to see the backside of God. The Jews believe that if you saw God, you were going to die. And that may be true. I don't know. But at that time, we're going to be able to talk to God just like we would anybody else. Maybe it'll be like Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before sin, when they could converse with God just face to face. And they could talk to Him about what's going on. And remember in Genesis where it talked about in the cool of the evening that God would come and walk with them and talk with them. How wonderful that's going to be. But we're going to be in the presence of God all the time. I know I've been to a lot of worship services, and some of them are just so great, so wonderful. Maybe the singing was just exactly right that day. The sermon was great, and I wasn't preaching it either. And so here, it's just a wonderful time, and maybe the people that are gathered around you, and you're looking around thinking, man, it's going to be good to be with these people. I enjoy being with them now, but I'm going to enjoy being with them in heaven too. But we're going to enjoy being there with God, because that's the place where God is, where the people would shout, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, where they would speak up and use these great voices. Or maybe it's like when God was there at Sinai, when He was giving the law, and when He spoke, it seemed that the whole mountain and the whole world, as far as those people were concerned, would just shake because of the power of it. Sometimes to represent God's voice speaking, it's represented as thunder. It's represented as something that has a great deal of power to it. a great deal of might to it. That's that God, and we're going to be able to see Him there in heaven. That's a part of what we're going to have there. The holy place, there with the God Almighty, there with the One who created the world, there with the One who sustained us, there with the One that in Genesis, when man sinned, God just started right then trying to save man. It wasn't something that God didn't want to do. It wasn't something that God said, well, I guess I've got to save those people now. I created them. I've got to do that. It was a thing where God loved us and He wanted to do that. We're going to be with Him, the One that cares for you. Even though you may do wrong, He's still going to care for you. We talk about in our time today, unconditional love. Let me tell you something. We need to recognize that there is an unconditional love with God. And we're going to be there with Him. And we're going to be able to rejoice there. And we're going to be able to have that there. But not only is God going to be there, we've got to understand that the Son is going to be there too. Jesus Christ is going to be there. The One that died for us. Somebody said, are you going to be able to see the nail prints in His hand? Are you going to be able to see the crown of thorns that are there? Remember, He's got the body. We don't. I don't know if we're going to see that or not. But we're going to know who He is. And we're going to rejoice at being a part of Him. We must recognize that He loved us and gave Himself for us in every way. If you turn to Galatians 2 and verse 20, that's exactly what it says there. He loved us and gave Himself up for us. Wonder if we'll spend the first 100 years saying, thank you, Jesus. Appreciate that. I really appreciate what you did there on the cross for me. I want you to know how much I do appreciate that. I don't know if we will or not. But maybe we'll be like those people we talked about God a while ago, where they sang out, holy, 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 and they sang also for the Son because of what He's done, because of what He sacrificed there. All those things are going to be there. But listen to this. The Holy Spirit is going to be there too. This One that has tried to guide people into what is right and in the truth. The One that was left there to speak for God, to confirm that Word within us as individuals, to help us to see that that Word is true, it's right, and it's good, and He's working to try to help us to be saved people. He's there talking with the Father, talking with the Son, and they're working out this thing of salvation in a great way for all of us, and have been doing that for a long time. Those are the ones that are going to be there in heaven. But not only those people. We've got to recognize that not just those people are going to be there, but the people of God are going to be there, the people that we love. And this is important. Look at this. We want to be a part of heaven because of all the things that are there, because of all the things that God has done for us. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, I do want to read this. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, when we leave this world, our salvation is not going to be something where it's going to be questioned. And I know we preachers sometimes kind of paint the picture of people standing there, and it's in kind of a judgment thing where people are in a line and they're walking up and they're doing. That's us. That's what we understand. I don't know if it's going to be like that or not. It may be a good way to kind of represent it. But we're going to be ushered into heaven. We're not going to have to stand there for 1,000 years trying to figure out if we're going. We're going to know that. We're going to know that because it's there. And because of all the things that are there, all the things that God has bestowed upon us and given to us. And we're going to be blessed there. Everybody's going to be blessed there. Because of what God has done, it is not going to fade away. It's not going to go away after a while. It's going to continue to be there. And how special His people are going to be. I know we're going to be singing praises to God, but you know, I wonder, and think about this just a little bit. I don't know if this is true or not. Do you think God is going to be proud of us? Proud of the struggles and the fights that we went through in this world? You see, God knows that. He didn't have to send His Son to find out about that. He sent His Son to help us to see how much He loved Him. He loved us. And how much Jesus loved us. Because He was willing to give His life. But that wonderful place, that place there where there's going to be no more suffering. We could turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, look at those first 7 verses. If you haven't read that before, look at that, read it, mark it, put it down. It's a wonderful passage. A place where there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no heartache. All those things are gone. We live in a world today of pain. We live in a world today of heartache. There are people that are told all the time because of what they've had to go through, they're going to have to go through cancer, they're going to have to go through this trouble, this problem, this difficulty, and sometimes we get so discouraged in this world. But please understand, in heaven, there's not going to be any of that. And He tries to help us to understand and give us just a little glimpse of heaven in maybe the songs that we sing and the words that He's got within His Word to help us to see how wonderful that place is going to be. And so we're willing to suffer whatever we've got to suffer. We're willing to do whatever we've got to do to be a part of heaven, to share in the things that heaven has to offer. Its beauty, I wish we could describe that to people. And people have tried and tried and tried to let people know what it's going to be like. And none of us really do. We can read the Word and find out from there, but it's lacking so much, as we mentioned a while ago. Because of all that God has for us, there is no way that we can imagine all that God has reserved for us. Sometimes we get scared because we don't know about all that. We don't know about heaven. We don't know exactly how it's going to be. And you know, we're people that we like to know everything. We want to know it all. That's the reason that I think some of the news people, they give us all this information, and it's always this great stuff and thrilling stuff and crazy stuff. You know, it's just like how Madonna does her hair or something. I mean, you know, it's silly stuff. We don't read anymore. We don't study anymore. We just listen to these people tell us what they think about it. And maybe we need to research some of this stuff ourselves and look at some of these things. We need to look at what heaven is going to be like and understand that it's lacking in every way in describing that. Even our songs that are so wonderful and great cannot really express how wonderful heaven's going to be and how we can rejoice in that. Now, look at this. We need to be people that we recognize and that we want to go to heaven because of the many treasures that are found there, the many things that are there for us, the many people that are there for us, the many treasures, the many things that are there. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, it helps us to see that there is a place called heaven and that these things are there for us, that there's treasures there for us, great treasures, wonderful treasures, great things that we can't even imagine. And that's the reason we need to go there, because of that, because of what God has given to us, because of what He's done there. He is there interceding for us. He's there pleading our case before the Father. Now, that's one of the things that's so wonderful to think about, that God loves us so much that He's willing to stand up and speak for us. Have you ever had a time when maybe you could have stood up and you could have said something, but you were afraid of what other people were going to do? Jesus Christ and God are not like that. Jesus Christ is going to speak up, and He's going to speak up for His people. And I wonder if the devil is going to be there. He has been in heaven before, and I guess he can be again. He was there with Job. Somebody says, how do you understand all that? I don't try to understand it. I just try to believe what it says. And maybe he's going to be there and said, wait a minute, look at what this person does. Look at what kind of life they lived. I know that they went to church. I know that they tried, but they did not make it. And Jesus is going to say, you're right. But because of what I did for them, they're going to be added in. They're going to be brought in. They're going to be added into heaven. So here it is. Here is this interceding for us. This Jesus Christ pleading our case before the Father so that we could have this place called heaven. And we could share in that. Share in all the wonderful things that are there. The wonderful things that God has for us. Now, look at this. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Heaven is going to be a place that we want to go to. Really, not only just because of what we have, but because of the redeemed that are there. Have you ever been in a situation where you really wanted to get out of it? Maybe it was a situation that you didn't know that was going to happen. Maybe it was a party you went to, or maybe something at the office and somebody said something and then it just started going downhill from there and you really did not want to be there. You didn't even want to be around those people. You didn't want to have anything to do with them at that time because they were showing sinfulness. But what would it be to be around people that are rejoicing because of heaven? People that are trying to do what's right. And not only trying, but they're doing that. Being there with those that are redeemed and seeing people. And I, you know, all of you could mention names of people that you know from the past that were good Christian people that tried to live right and tried to do what was right. Those people are going to be there. Isn't it going to be a wonderful thing to see some of the people? Maybe some of our kinfolk from the past that we had never met before, but we'll be able to see them there because they're in heaven, because they were trying to serve God and do the will of God. And God forgave them of their sins, and God cleansed them, and God put them there in heaven. Those are the people that are going to be rejoicing. Those are the people that are going to be saying there how wonderful and how holy God is because of that. The faithful of all time, Moses, Abraham, Elijah, some of the others. Read Hebrews 11 and 12. You see some of those people there. How that God said, by faith they did this. By faith they did that. By faith they did this. And we're going to be able to talk to them. Could you think about sitting and talking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And saying, was that furnace really as hot as they said it was? Was the Son of Man really walking in there with you? And you see, at that time, it's not going to be a faith thing any longer. It'll be a reality. Faith is great and faith is wonderful, and we have to have that now. Because the evidence that we have is built upon what other people have said. And we have to have faith to believe that and to conduct ourselves in such a way as we will receive what God said. I don't have heaven now in one sense. In a sense, we do, I think, because of the church. But I don't have heaven now. So I've got to believe what God says. I've got to believe that God says that this place is there reserved for us. And that we're going to be able to gather there with all of those people that are redeemed, with all of them out of every nation. And it'll be like the time before they built the Tower of Babel. The people will be able to know there won't be any English there. They won't be any German or French or anything like that. It'll be a language that all of us can understand each other. I don't know about you, but I've been in places where people were talking and I didn't know what they were saying because they were speaking in a different language. And I really wish that I could talk with them in their language because it seems to help them to understand things a little bit better and they appreciate you a little bit better. Can't do that. Me and languages, I'm doing good to get English out, much less all these other languages. But all of every nation is going to be gathered there. And we're going to know, and we're going to love, and we're going to care for each other. What a wonderful place that is. What a great place that's going to be. And we're going to be there with the best people that the world has to offer. We're going to be there with the greatest people that God could ever have. We're going to be those people that are there. And we're going to be faithful. Faithful to God because there's where the faithful people are. Heaven is a wonderful place. And I really want to go there. I hope you want to go there. I hope you're willing to pay the price to go there. We've got to be faithful to this word, to God, to be able to be a part of that. And we have a choice to make here. We have a choice in this life to make if we want to be faithful to God or not. And it's in one sense, it's very simple. You decide which way you want to go. You decide where you want to be. You say, well, it's harder than that because, well, the reason it's harder is because, as we talked about this morning, the world is pulling us away from God. And these things of the world, because we're physical, because these things are physical, they pull us away. What we've got to do is to sit down and figure out what is the most important thing in life. And what is most important in life is not the things of this world. It's the things of God. It's what God would have us to do. But let me tell you something. Paul talked about in Galatians the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And that struggle has always been there. And the struggle will always be there. But what we've got to do is to be able to overcome. Jesus made the most significant change when He helped us to see the way to heaven. I mean, His coming was for us. That whole thing was, it wasn't for God. It was for us. It was God trying to show us how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. And here He came, one from heaven, gave up heaven to come to this earth to let us know that there's a place up there called heaven. Now, God could have done it many ways, but He sent His only begotten Son so that we could know where God is. He's given us all the evidence that's needed. Sometimes we say, you know, I wish we had more evidence. I wish we had more things that we could look to and say, you know, the Bible's right, God's right, and we could convince people. Let me tell you something. That's never going to happen. We've got everything that we need. There's nothing else. And there will be nothing else. People either believe it or they won't believe it. We will do the same. We will either believe it or not believe it. That's a decision that we've got to make. Now, we're supposed to be responsible people according to this book, and we're supposed to make the right decision. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. But now listen, some people are not going to desire heaven as much as they should. They may try to hold on to a little bit of heaven and a little bit of the world. The distance is too far. Just like the rich man, the gulf is so large that we can't come across there. We can't do it. So the decision has to be made now. That rich fellow said, can you go back and tell my brothers? Can you go back and let my brothers know about this? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Well, could you go back and tell my family this? Maybe the Lord would say, you got Jesus Christ. What else do you need? What else could you have? Because you got Jesus Christ. He came, He lived, He died. To say that Jesus Christ never lived, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody make the argument that Jesus Christ never lived. Because there's so much evidence that He did. So much evidence that He did. That it's just something that's just undeniable. But how wonderful it is to know that He came and He lived and He died for us. It'll be wonderful to be in heaven. I want to go there. I want you to go there. I want everybody to go there. I don't want anybody to be lost. Well, that's what I want. But what I want and what we do are two entirely different things. Live long enough to understand that. But what we've got to do is we've got to have a desire within us greater than anything else. And we believe it because of evidence, but we're going to believe it no matter what. No matter what the world says. You know, every time they come out with something about, well, this didn't happen and that didn't happen in the Scriptures and all, they think that that's going to shake the faith of Christian people. Let me tell you something. People that believe in God, it does not shake their faith. And most of the time, if you wait just a few years, just a short time, they'll find out. Remember when they came out with the shroud of Turin? Oh, this is the body. The body was there. The body wasn't taken. The body, you know, and now they found out, no, that wasn't true. That wasn't right. If you wait just a little while, don't get upset, but look at it, you'll find out that what God says is always true. It's always right. Now, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, do I want to go to heaven? What do you got to do to get there? Well, if you're not a Christian, you've got to become a Christian. That's what those people did in Acts. That's what they did throughout the New Testament. They heard it. They believed it. They acted on that. They were willing to have a sorrow, not just a godly sorrow, but a sorrow for sin, because they knew that they were hurting God when they sinned. And be immersed in water to have those sins washed and cleansed away. Why did God choose that? Why did He decide? I don't know. I don't worry about it. He decided it. That's His business, not mine. So I believe it, and I'm immersed in water, and I live like I really believe it. I live like I really, really, really believe that. And so I'm going to continue serving Him. All of us sin, but we've got one that will forgive us of every sin, that will cleanse us of every unrighteousness, and that is Jesus Christ. He'll be the judge. You will not. We need to quit trying to judge everybody else and look at ourselves and try to live right according to God's will. And He'll handle everything else. Sometimes we want to take on God's job. Let me tell you something. We're not big enough. Handle your part. Handle what God wants you to handle. You live a faithful Christian life according to His book, to His word. You do that, and that's all you can do. And because of the grace of God, you will be forgiven of your sins. We sing this invitation song to plead with all of us to look at our lives.